Everybody, welcome to another exciting edition of the Big Red Bus as we take the glorious monstrosity into the streets of Chicago. I look to my right and lo and behold, on a brand new day, it's the great one, Doug Tonis. How you doing, brother?
You seem pretty pumped, Fred.
I'm excited.
I mean,
it's new era.
It's a new, I mean, yeah, I mean, it was a new era as soon as AK was gone. Are you pumped specifically for Bryson Graham?
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of come around on it. I was shocked when I saw the news that he was the guy who got the job. I thought for sure it was going to be Matt Lloyd. And, you know, I'd warmed to that potential hire. But the more I've, you know, read about the kid, and, you know, he's a pretty young guy. Gosh, I think he's 39 years old. The more I've, you know, kind of studied him, I'm going to stay open-minded. I mean, DT, we already talked about this a little bit on the previous show, right? Who knows? You know, he was part of a front office that made some incredible picks with Herb Jones at 35. He was an elite defender, absolute steal in the second round. Trey Murphy, he was also part of, and he was part of the Atlanta Hawks. I brought this up on Waddle and Sylvie today. I think the timing was very interesting on his departure from New Orleans, which was several weeks before the draft. And what happened after that, where he leaves for Atlanta, and then Atlanta and New Orleans make this trade that brought them, you know, the unprotected pick in this upcoming draft for Derek Queen, who I think, despite what many draft nooks said, was going to be a bust. And I was glad that he said, you know what, we're going to make this move, or was part of the front office to make that move. And I think in the long run, that's going to be a huge win for the Atlanta Hawks. Hopefully he can do some similar greatness with us. What say you?
I think that's great that he ripped off his old team. Maybe he knew something about what they were thinking and knew like how much they liked Queen and or whatever. But the rumor that came out in Atlanta, if you remember, Atlanta said, they reported this, that they did no negotiations with the Pelicans. The Pelicans just called them and just offered that deal. And then Atlanta was so shocked by the offer that they said, are you sure this is what you mean? And they had to confirm that that's what the Pelicans meant.
Well, yeah, but so Atlanta could have said, hey, well, you know what? We're going to stay here and take a guy like Noah Essengay, like the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, sure.
Sure. All I'm saying is I wouldn't give any – I mean, you don't know if Graham even made that decision. And two, it's not like he hard negotiated the offer from reports. It was just the Pelicans called and made the offer, and he was smart enough to say yes. But that's kind of like, you know, if I just said, hey, Fred, you want $1 million? And you're like, let me think real hard about it for 5 minutes. And then I'm like, yeah, screw it. I'm going to go give it to Mark instead. And then Mark says yes. I mean, like, it wasn't like a really complicated scenario to figure out. So it's fine. I'm not like blaming him for it. I just like, there's not like a lot of credit there for me. I'm going to read you off. I think I looked up earlier and Bryson Graham was kind of like in scouting since 2014. I'm going to read off these guys that he picked. So 2014, we're going to skip that year because it's a second round pick, 47. It was Russ Smith, but like, whatever, it was 47. Like the guys after that weren't any good anyway. 2016, number six, he takes Buddy Hield. Number seven was Jamal Murray. Number eight was Marquise Chris. Number nine was Jacob Poeltl. Number 10 was Thon Maker. So, I mean, like Jamal Murray, clearly better than Buddy Hield by like a huge amount. Jacob Poeltl is probably also better, but
no, he's debatable. Not.
Debatable. I don't know. Buddy Hield's kind of sucked. Anyway.
Yeah, really? He's had some decent years.
Yeah.
He's kind of sucked, dude. Just shut up. He sucks. And certainly worse than Jamal Murray, who's picked next. Number 33 in that draft, Chiek Diallo. I don't know. Number 33. Never heard of him. Malcolm Brogdon was number 36 in that draft. Obviously, a much better pick in the range. David Michenow, number 39 in 2016. Don't know who that is. Doesn't look like there's anyone else any good after him anyway. Diamond Stone. Actually picked right after David Michenow. Also still no one good after him, but also he sucks. So, okay, give him a pass on those guys. No one else was good. 2017 at 31, we take Frank Johnson. He's not any good. Again, next five guys, maybe not so exciting, so who cares? 2017 at number 40, we take Dwayne Bacon. Isaiah Hartenstein was number 43. So someone really good, kind of like in that mix.
Are you talking about like what this guy's taking? Like
I'm just saying, this is since he was in the Pelicans, since he was in scouting. 28, Tony Carr. Never heard of that guy. Shake Milton is maybe the only guy I've heard of afterwards who is like maybe like someone for like a half season. 2019, of course, Zion Williamson. More, yeah, there's obvious pick. Zion would have been great had it not been for injury, but not much analysis. 2020, number 13, Kara Lewis Jr. Number 14 is Aaron Nesmith. 15, Cole Anthony. 16, Isaiah Stewart. I think all those guys are better players. 2021, we've got Trey Murphy. Trey Murphy was really good. Jalen Johnson was number 20, even better. So not like he got the best guy in that range, even though it's really good. 35 is Herb Jones. I would assume it was 38. I'd say Herb Jones is still the best guy in that grouping, though. So that was a good pick. 2022 at number 8, they take Dyson Daniels. Jalen Williams was a few picks after that. Much better player.
Oh, come on, Doug. We're gonna play
Number
this all day. You
22,
can do this
41.
about every guy. First of
Well,
all,
dude.
okay,
Okay,
oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I just named like 20 guys, and you've heard of like two of them. So all I'm saying is this guy, like,
You're
the
naming
draft
second
here.
round and late first round picks,
Yeah, it's
Doug.
fine, but it's like I'm just saying it's not like he's just people are acting like, oh wow, this guy is like some amazing scout. Like the Pelicans have not drafted well. Like in like 20 picks where he was there that they're making, like Herb Jones was a good find, and Trey Murphy was a good find.
And Dyson
That's it.
Daniels is not a miss.
Dyson Daniels is like a super mediocre player for number 8, and there was like an all-star player a few picks later.
Like, I'm not saying it was
Who
like the
was picked
worst
right
pick
after
ever.
him?
Jeremy Sochan.
Okay. Who would you rather have? Dyson Daniels. Who was picked after what?
Probably Dyson Daniels.
Daniels is
It's not
like a
even probably, it's
mediocre player.
absolutely.
Either way, I'd rather have Jalen Williams. I'm just saying, it's like nothing special. His drafting is nothing special. If you looked at what these guys have done, it is nothing special. That's all I'm saying. Now we don't know that he could have argued for Jalen Williams for all we know, and the GM said, no, I really like Dyson Daniels. Like we don't know. Like he didn't make any of these picks, right? So we only know that he scouted, and we know the Pelicans were not a great drafting team while he was there. Like they weren't. They're like if you just go look at the history, I have it pulled up. They're a very mediocre drafting team. There's nothing special about their draft history. They get a lot of picks. They don't have like any like real home runs. They've got a couple good finds in the second round, but it's very pedestrian. I'd say it's actually below average. Clearly, the Pelicans thought he was great because they kept promoting him. You know, that implies that he was winning a lot of internal arguments. Like maybe they didn't take his advice and he was actually right. And then they put him into greater positions of power, right? Like you don't know, like I said, like he didn't actually get to choose who they picked. And so the fact that they kept promoting him upwards kind of implies that like maybe his personal track record was better than the track record of the team. We don't know what anyone in front org is doing. So I'm cautiously optimistic. I hope it'll work out for him. But yeah, like I don't think anything that has happened with the Pelicans was that great. The Pelicans are like a very poor organization. I don't think he learned like a whole lot of great things while he was there relative to being at a different org. I will say, you know, in Atlanta had a killer year as a front office this last year. Like Atlanta killed it. As a front office and like all these little things to get out of like Trae Young's contract and improve the team and just the decision to do that not to double down on Trae Young. You know, obviously the trade with the Pelicans was a massive win. So, you know, his work in GM where you probably give him more credit than whatever he was doing before, with, you know, that single year, it was a great year for the Hawks. The Hawks thought enough to poach him away from the Pelicans at the same title, which means they had to pay him. Right? Like if you are GM of the Pelicans, you become GM of the Hawks, you know, your reason for moving is probably money. I mean, the Pelicans promoted you from intern up to GM. So you would think you would have tremendous loyalty to an org that like made that type of belief in you. So clearly the Hawks had to pay him a ton of money to get over that, you know, you would think anyway. So, you know, like there's some good and bad there. I'm gonna wait and see. I'm not gonna get too excited about it. I you know, to be honest, I think I said I had him maybe like third or fourth. I mean, I had him, I think, pretty distantly behind Lloyd and Lindsey. If we were going to go with like the young, kind of like young genius, I probably would have gone with Lewin from Boston. Now, granted, Lewin's not been in the GM role, so that's a little dicier too. Whereas at least Graham has had a couple years as GM. But we'll see how it goes. You know, I'm rooting for him. Hope he does well.
Great. I don't know. I thought that was pretty critical, negative overall review of his performance or being part of those front offices. As you said, we don't know who he was arguing for. We don't know. In a lot of those arguments,
How was that
like
negative? That was totally balanced and fair. I just said the exact same thing you said.
I don't
I
think it's
said we
fair to
don't.
criticize people for their picks in like 29, 30, 31. Those are crap.
I said their overall draft history is not good. And you can look it up. It's not.
Like, it's not. Like, the best player you drafted, and this is over like a decade. This is over 10 years. The best player you drafted is like Trey Murphy in 10 years. That's the best player.
Herb Jones in the second round is a tremendous value.
Herb Jones is the best player you drafted in 10 years. That's still like, if the best player we get in the next 10 years is Herb Jones, like someone of that quality, that'll be a really disappointing 10 years.
No doubt. With Zion, I mean, obviously that was an easy pick. I'm not going to give.
Yeah, I mean,
for
and
that.
Zion is its own discussion, right? Because it's like, you knew you were going to take him. He was a superstar talent. He got hurt. Like, that's not on anyone. No one's going to say one thing or the other about Zion. I don't think he gave any brilliant advice to take Zion or against him either. You know, like, so that one I kind of leave out because it's like just such a wonky thing. But like I said, 10 years, your best pick is either Herb Jones, Trey Murphy, Yves Missy. Like, I mean, it's not like
you don't give him any credit for moving over to Atlanta. When he moves over to Atlanta, 3 weeks later,
said he had a great year in Atlanta. Did you get so pissed off about what I said at the beginning?
No,
that you just ignored everything else.
But you did not give him credit for this whole deal with you did not give him any credit. You dismissed it, saying that the Pelicans called him and said, "Hey, we're going
to." Well, that's a reported fact. What do you want me to do about it? It's a reported fact that the Pelicans called and said this is the deal.
That the Pelicans called the Chicago Bulls and the Bulls passed on it.
Sure, I mean, that's not reported. The Bulls have denied that. Like, look, I believe that happened, just so you know. I'm like, I believe you. I'm with you. And I think we're terribly stupid for doing it. I'm just saying it was a fact that they called and they didn't negotiate it. The Pelicans just called and offered it.
Just to finish my thought, I think there's far more draft Knicks out there, if they were running front offices, that would be willing to admit it. But there were, I'd say the vast majority of people were very high in Derek Queen. There was a small minority like me, who said, this guy can't defend and he can't shoot. Why are you excited about him as a big man? He's slow. He's not a modern NBA player. And he, by the end of the year, he was pretty much a bust.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of front offices were super high on Derek Queen, which is why he lasted as long as he did.
New Orleans was, obviously.
Well, New Orleans was, yeah, obviously. And, like, again, so the one of the worst franchises in the league was interested in him and made one of the dumbest trades in history to get him. And that's the franchise this guy cut his teeth on.
There were a lot of draft experts that ranked him very high.
All I'm saying is, like, he lasted to 13. Like, the results are the first 12 teams passed on him. Like, it was a dumb trade. It was a dumb trade to get anyone at 13 like that. But, like, regardless of that, sure, you can give him whatever credit you want. All I said was he didn't negotiate it. The Pelicans called him with that deal, and they offered it right away with no negotiation. That's all I'm saying. And so for me or anyone else, like, I'm glad he said yes. I just feel that was a no-brainer. At the same time, to your point, at least four other front offices passed on some version of that trade. We don't know if Dumars got more desperate as time went on, but we know Dumars said he called four other front offices and they all said no.
So
he gets some credit.
I just think not like tons of credit, because like I said, he didn't negotiate it, but he gets some. He said yes. At least four other teams said no. We don't know that all four got the same offer. But at least four other teams rejected a Pelicans trade that probably would have made a lot of sense, and he didn't. So, and I agree, like, they got rid of Trae Young, which I think was both a good decision, and they got good to get, like, I like what he did in Atlanta, to the extent, you know, it's always hard. He wasn't the ultimate decision maker to know where his thoughts were on everything in there, just like in New Orleans. But Atlanta had a really great year from a front office perspective, in my opinion. And I said, I think that's a positive for him. So,
I've got a natural just right now, a little bit, I guess, reflex defense of the Bulls, just because, you know, I turned on the radio. I was on with Waddle and Sylvie right away this afternoon, and they're already starting with the Bulls don't deserve the benefit of the doubt. They shouldn't get the benefit of the doubt.
What's the conversation then? Like, what's the conversation? Like, can I take the other side for a second with you?
Sure.
I'm going to make you happy. Okay.
Great.
There's like four.
Because,
like,
you failed
really
miserably
dumb.
So far.
So I know. It's that you came in all excited and I, like, just fucking dumped ice water on you. My bad. All right. There's four really dumb narratives. Dumb narrative number one is, like, the Bulls finally didn't do their whole nepotism thing, which was, like, pushed out by, like, Nick Friedell, of course. And then, like, you know, immediately, like, an hour later, he's proven wrong and then also looks like an idiot, which is great. Like, AK and Mark Eversley were not, like, they were complete outsiders. They sucked. So, one, like, it's not like they have this long history of only hiring insiders, the last front office, every single person was like cleaned out. Basically, they brought in everyone new. They gave AK full control. He hired like a ton of assistant general managers, and they're all like from outside the org. And that it was a miserable failure. So one, just being outside the org is not a positive necessarily. But two, they didn't do that last time either. Michael Reinsdorf hired one guy previously, and it was an outsider, and everyone was an outsider, and he gave that guy free reign. So like, two. Narrative number two, they hired him because he's cheap. There's no reason to think that. One, every single guy they're interviewing was a general manager. They all had the same job title. There's no reason to think Bryson Graham made less money than everyone else. In fact, it makes more sense that he made more money than everyone else because he's the only one of those general managers who got poached from a different general manager job, right? So like, if you're going from company A to company B and you're not getting more responsibility and you're not getting a title promotion, what are you getting, Fred? More money. Like, Lloyd was an internal promotion. Lindsay was like out of work when he went to Detroit and was like dealing with racist allegations and was probably a little bit toxic. Gansey was like a kind of like a the internal promotion of the Cavs that kind of followed Graham's path of just like starting very early and just moved like way up the org. And then Lewin and Telep were like guys who were not even general managers. So like, I don't know how much any of these guys make, but the odds are they're all basically in the same tier. And if you're going to get guess one of them made the most, market dynamics would suggest it was Graham, like because he was the only one who had to be poached for the same job. The third thing is the Bulls are going to be super cheap and they're not going to give him any money to build out the front office. One, they've already said we're going to let him build out the front office however he wants. But two, we already saw with Arturis Karnišovas, as soon as he came in, they hired a crap load of people. It didn't help any, but he had full reign to do anything he wanted as far as we know. When Billy Donovan was being wooed by the Knicks, the rumor is the Bulls paid him $10 million to stay on a long-term extension and just like backed up the money truck for Billy Donovan, even though the team sucked. So like, I don't understand why people think like, oh, it's just this lazy, cheap narrative. The Bulls are just super cheap about everything. Like, they're probably not cheap in this way because like, maybe you could be cheap in some ways because of the luxury tax, but like the money here is so de minimis, like to build out all these front office things. So like, I think that is also just this like crazy, crazy bad narrative. And then the last one is like, you know, he only got the job because Matt Lloyd said no. Like, who knows? Maybe that'll come out to be true, like, in the next couple days. But it's just, like, a super weird thing to think with no evidence, except you just want to be pissed off. And so there you go. Like, just people are coming up with, like, just all the dumb, I hate the Bulls, I'm mad about everything, arguments out of the woodwork to be like, oh, this is, like, so bad. Like, there's no reason to think any of those things are true.
I mean, has there been any discussion at all that Matt Lloyd turned down the draft?
I've not seen anything. I mean, obviously the news is very fresh. It's been out for like a few hours as we record this. So, I mean, like I said, something could happen in the next couple of days that says that. But you know what I think happened is like, you know, all of these reports were just aggregations of Joe Cowley, like that the Bulls were going to go with like Matt Lloyd. And then it was just like a bunch of assumptions that the Bulls are just going to act in this way, even though, as I just pointed out, they didn't do that last time. But it was just a bunch of assumptions that they're just going to go with Matt Lloyd because of blah, blah, blah.
Bothers me, though, back on Waddle and Sylvie's show. So you hear that nonsense a little bit about, like, I'm not going to say it's nonsense. Obviously, they haven't done a lot to earn a lot of trust in their decision-making process. But I don't think it has any impact on what happened here. And so suddenly, like, this is from a station that carries the Bears. Like, before last year, before they hired Johnson, what did the Bears do? Nobody was saying that. Like, what have the Bears done to earn anybody's trust? Like, they didn't do anything for 30 years. Last 30 years, yeah, there's been three teams with a title. It's the Bulls have three titles, the Hawks have three, the Cubs have one, the White Sox have one, and the Bears have zero. They did nothing until this past year when they finally got the hire right. Well, maybe this will be the right hire. We'll see. You know, it's like,
yeah, I agree with you. So it only takes one good hire at the top. Now, is Graham the hire? Like, look, I don't know. Of the people they were talking to, I would have had Graham probably fourth. But like, I know 1% about any of these hires. I was in the interview room. Maybe this guy is like the young genius, you know, is like just really great. And, you know, like Matt Lloyd is like, you know, he's safe and he's steady and he's whatever, but he's not gonna, you know, make the types of things you want. Like, that's totally plausible to me. So, you know, it's fine. I don't have no negativity towards him. I'm going to wait to see what he does. Let him come in. You know, I think that's the right approach. There's no reason just to like off the cuff be like super mad about it. It's the same way I was with Arturis Karnišovas. Like, I didn't like him like pretty soon after he like didn't do anything. And I wasn't like super excited about his resume at the time. I said, like, it looks like this guy's whole career is just based on drafting Nikola Jokic, whom they drafted as a draft and stash guy and never expected to be good anyway. Like, that's his like entire resume. Like, I didn't was not excited about him necessarily, but I'm like, hey, we'll see what happens when he's here. Like, you just don't know. Like, you have no idea what these guys are doing behind the scenes. You're just guessing. So, like Matt Lloyd feels like a safer pick, but maybe it's like a much less upside pick. Like, maybe this guy wowed them. Like, maybe he showed them a bunch of like, hey, I got this idea, I got this idea, and came up with some really novel things. And, maybe talked about some of the scouting work he's done in the past, and maybe it doesn't even like match the draft record. Like, he's like, hey, look at these reports I wrote on these other guys. Like, these other guys were great. Like, like, who knows? Like, you don't know. There's no way to know. So I think you go with this with an air of positivity. I kind of like the fact that they got a younger guy. I don't know if he's the youngest candidate, but if not, he was like the second youngest. Lewin was the other guy who was like really young. I like that they got a younger guy. Like, I think a guy like in his like, I think honestly he's like 38, 39, something like that. Like, it's like at probably at the peak of his like prowess as an NBA thinker right now. And I think that means something. Like, so.
He was part also of the front office. The other guy we didn't mention was Nikhil Alexander Walker, who was drafted, well, was traded on draft day to the Pelicans, who has been awesome for the Hawks. So I'm sure he had experience with him. He went to the Hawks. I don't think it's any big surprise that the Hawks signed him as a free agent. That was an excellent move. And so he was obviously part of drafting him and then obviously signed him as a free agent. I agree, there's not perfect. It's not perfect, but I think it's a little bit better than what you had suggested. I think some of those picks are really rock solid, but you're right. Some of them weren't great either.
Well, I mean, like I said, what's your marquee pick there? Like I could name in the Paxson era, which was like just as long as this, like seven guys better
Better
than
than
the best
Noah
guy in
Butler,
Pelicans pick.
Dang. Yeah, exactly. But, nobody wants
So
to
I
hear
mean, like
that.
I just said.
Like, and it depends on the draft classes. It depends on your position. I'm not trying to like kill the guy over it. I'm just saying it's a long time to not have like something better. That's all. Like, I'm not saying it was, like I said, not trying to kill him for it. There was like that run, and I think it was what, like 2013 to 2016, where Bobby Portis was the Bulls' best draft pick. That was like Denzel Valentine and Tony Snell, and I
The
forget who
draft
else.
sucked with Valentine. I
But
mean,
you went and you looked at those drafts, and it was just like a sea of crap, like every year. And so, like, sometimes it just lines up that way. Like, there's really just not a good choice. And, like, so like I said, I'm not trying to destroy him for it, but you just kind of like I don't know that I would also be like, oh wow, this guy is the Pelicans record doesn't strike me as genius either. That's all. Like, there's obviously some misses, where you had star talent that you didn't get, like where you missed out on Jamal Murray by a pick, you missed out on J-Dub by four picks. There was some chances where
You
there
just
was
tell me
like a real
Jamal
spark
Murray
out.
sucked in the last podcast.
Well, I mean, compared to Buddy Hield, he was a star. Like, yeah. I mean, like, yeah. It's all relative. We were talking about like superstars. Like, not talking about like, just like Buddy Hield. Like Jamal Murray is not like a I wouldn't want Jamal Murray on his contract, and neither would anyone else, right? Like, he's making like 60 million. Like, no one would pay Jamal Murray that much. But like, yeah, if he was like a $30 million player, you'd be pretty ecstatic for it.
Yeah, who did the Timberwolves take? A player who played for the Bulls at number five before Dyson Daniels. Do you remember?
Are you talking about Chris Dunn?
There you go. Yeah, Tom Thibodeau took Chris Dunn right there before Jamal Murray too. So even the
What?
highest level of intellectuals can make mistakes. You know
Yeah, even
what?
the
It
highest
doesn't
level.
matter. It doesn't matter. Big
No, it
picture is
doesn't
what it
matter.
does from here
All we
going
know is
forward.
we
We
got
got
someone
someone
who's
who
got
works
a
out.
great reputation around the league, thought of as a good thinker. And you know what? Like, the Hawks liked him enough that they poached him. And like I said, they obviously had to pay him more money to get him to leave, right? Because he wasn't leaving with more responsibility. So they thought enough of him to poach him away from another team and pay whatever premium was required to do it. So, I think that also bodes well. It's kind of like I talked with Matt Lloyd. You don't know what he did, but he got promoted several times. I think it means a lot when another front office poaches you. And if they're poaching you primarily by offering you more compensation, I think that means more. So, I think that says something positive about Bryson Graham. We'll see what happens. Like, I know maybe I sounded negative. I just, like, I don't think you should feel strongly about this one way or the other. And I would say that's probably true about anyone right now.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
yeah, exactly. There's no way you should feel like, oh, this is awful or this is great. We don't know. And when the picks start being made, within a few years, we'll have a good idea how it goes.
Yeah.
Or just hope and pray.
Maybe this a couple of years. Years. You know?
Yeah. Two, three years.
No, well, there's no way he'll be worse than these guys. And for all the ripping I did on his resume, like, I feel his resume was better than Karnišovas, who just really just didn't have a job with an NBA team for all that long. I think he was, like, with Denver, like, it's like 7 years or 10 years or something like that, but only with one team. You know, he worked in basketball operations for the NBA, and then I think he was, like, some part of, like, ran something in Europe. I forget what it was. It was, like, a European scout or something. But, like, it wasn't, like, deep experience. Like, he was also kind of one of these, like, wonder kid kind of, I mean, not that he's young, but, like, you know, kind of, like, hotshot name reputation guys. And that clearly didn't work. Like, he clearly didn't deserve the reputation. So let's hope Bryson Graham does. But I like that at least he's been with a couple orgs, and that's, you know, more than I could say about
Let's wrap it up with one final comment from Stefano. We're already over 30 minutes. I thought this was good 3 hours ago. I don't know much about Bryson Graham, but here's what I've heard. Highly regarded scouting skills. Rose from an intern and number two guy behind David Griffin with the Pels. Came very well recommended to the Hawks. Has worked in every area of front offices. So we'll see. Let's hope it goes well. Mark K also seemed to give it decent review. Very inspired choice, Bulls. I'm intrigued for what it's worth. I mean, which is absolutely nothing.
Mark K is being sarcastic or not. Like, I just have no idea. So, like, you could read that in any way based on Mark. Mark will interpret that however he wants in a year, depending on how it goes. I'd be like, yeah, I was sarcastic. I never liked this guy. Yeah, and it's like for me, like my initial thought is like wouldn't be my choice, but you know, I also have no reason to think it's a bad choice. You know, it was a reasonable choice. I like that they went through a full process. I like that they didn't just, you know, go with the guy everyone thought they were going to go with because of whatever. Like they clearly took the process serious to land where they landed. So, you know, to me that those are all positive outcomes of the search and a sign that they're taking it better too.
Now for almost the most as important part, who's he going to pick as coach and who he's going to pick as a GM? So fingers crossed he makes the right decision on both of those. And the one thing I did also argue with Sylvie about, Sylvie was like, well, the Bulls should have gone for Masiah Jerry. And I brought up, you know, arguably two of the worst contracts in basketball were signed by this guy at the end of his last term there with what's the other one he has that's a horrible contract on there? Oh, shit. What's his name? Quickly. Emmanuel Quickly.
Yeah.
Emmanuel Quickly, it's signed like 30 plus million. If you recall, I think he makes 30
like
million,
35 million a year or something. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, Josh Giddey and his team were using as, hey, I'm better than him. And we can all agree on that, but that doesn't make for the insanity of that moronic contract. So, yeah, I, Masiah Jerry, fine GM, but I feel bad because he didn't get the job.
Yeah. I mean, Let's just assume for a minute that Kevin Durant doesn't tear his Achilles and Klay Thompson doesn't tear his ACL. How good does that Kawhi Leonard trade look if you're Toronto? I mean, like you make it to the finals and then Kawhi like bails on you the next year. I mean, like, and then your team would be like kind of a disaster. So like, I don't know. It was a big swing and it worked. I mean, hey, you got some balls for it, but like.
You won a title. You can't take it away from him.
You kind of got generationally lucky. Like there was no way you were going to win that, you know, if it weren't for those two things happening. So, you know, so whatever, like you got it, you got a title, like every, the ball bounced right for you, but, yeah, there's a lot of luck involved in that too. And, you know, it's the same thing. If Kawhi Leonard's shot, you know, doesn't like, you know, bounce off the rim and down and in, and they don't beat the 76ers, like same thing, you know, like this guy was like a couple breaks away from, you know, basically just being just another dude. But history will then now remember him like probably way more fondly than they deserve. And this gets back to what we were talking about. Like people just aren't really good at judging general managers. This isn't to say that Ujiri is bad, but like they will look at things like, well, they won this title. And so this guy is like super great, but like you really just, you know, like so much luck plays into winning a title and all this other stuff. And he certainly made like the one big move happen and gets credit for it. But like that was just the type of close your eyes and swing really hard. Like super lucky. Like you would lose that move like 49 times out of 50. And like he was the one, he got the one out of 50. And it's fine. But like, so, you know, I wouldn't be upset if we had gotten Ujiri, but like, I wouldn't be like, oh, well, it's all set now. Like, you know, he's got his big share of like lousy moves, just like everyone else. So just, you know, I'm fine. We'll see what Graham does. No one should be upset about not getting Ujiri or Bob Myers for that matter. Much more so Bob Myers.
Yeah. Agreed. Well, on that note, let's bring the bus in. DT, thanks for jumping on short notice. And, I'm excited. You know what I mean? Like, we should all be excited. Things are going to be better than they were. That's not a high bar to cross, but hopefully things get far better than they were. And I'm going to give him all my support and belief until he does something that causes me to doubt that.
I think that is the way to go. Be positive as a human being. There's no reason to like start off with negativity and invite negativity into your life. Enough negativity comes anyway. We just dealt with Arturis Karnashovas. So negativity can find you. Don't go seeking it out.
Amen. And on that note, we'll bring the bus in. And until next time, go Bulls.
Go Bulls. Bulls.